Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, Mots, we are back. Episode 175 of the Rink Shrinks. What do you say? You ready to go?
Let's go.
This episode is presented by BetOnline. It's down to the last four teams. BetOnline has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long. And now that we're almost down to the finals, we still got more in the store. MLB is here, NBA, NHL playoffs are around the corner. As always, BetOnline is your number one source for your summer sports wagering. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. And remember to use our promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
So what's going on, my brother? Been staying busy. And, you know, as far as hockey winding down, what else is going on?
Yeah, hockey's winding down. I think, you know, well, I'll rewind a little bit. It was a good Easter weekend.
Yeah, happy Easter.
Yeah, happy late Easter. Christ has risen. Yeah. I kept seeing the kids post that, so figured I'd throw that in there. But it was a good little Easter, nice and quiet. Hit my my parents for a little brunch and were able to hang out with my my sister and her kids and everything, which was nice. And then back to the in-laws, had a great meal. So I felt like, you know, a typical holiday, ate a little bit too much, and that was about it. You know what I mean? But it was very relaxing, nice chill day to be hanging with the families. And it was great to really have the you know, the NCAA basketball and the NCAA hockey on as well. That was made the day go by quick, and to be able to watch some of that talent over the past week, and especially in the hockey, was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. You know, I had a good weekend as well. Easter was great. Put a little hurting on some food. It was a French toast casserole that didn't stand in the pans.
Yeah.
And
stay light.
Yeah. Nice prime rib with a bunch of fixings, and it was it was a great meal. My question to you is, so in brunch, mm-hmm. do you make multiple trips, or do you make two plates, or do you just throw everything on one plate? You know, meaning, let's just say it is a French toast casserole and some prime rib, you know, and some couscous. And
Well, I'm going to just, so on Sunday, I went, actually, Joanna made a nice, like, acai bowls type things.
Mm.
You ever have one of those?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's like,
I think I had a smoothie.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing, but you eat it, you know, and then she had, right? Add a couple things to it, but it was, I started out with that, which is always good when you start out with that in brunch and also have a, you know, a beer with it.
It's a little appetizer.
Yeah. And then there was like a, this my sister makes this kind of egg. I don't even know what you would call it, but it almost looks like a tray of lasagna, but it's like all scrambled eggs. And then it had like some sausage, bacon, cheese, some different things like that on it.
We call that a quiche?
But it's not a quiche. It's not a quiche.
Oh, it's like an egg. I don't know. Quote, you make something like that. It's an egg casserole or something.
Yeah, yeah, we'll call it that. Yeah. I think she called it like an egg. I don't know. Whatever. But I even had some of it. You know, 2 days later, it was the leftovers, you know, eating it. But it was really good. And then, you know, some bacon, some sausages on the side. Kids had the waffle makers going. To answer your question, multiple plates.
Multiple plates. Yeah. I mean, I went heavy on the French toast casserole. So it was just, you know, that had to be by itself with some mixed.
Yeah, fruit. You might need a bathroom trip after that one to clear some room.
But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a good question. You know, when someone goes up for a brunch, do they show discipline and, you know, make separate trips, two plates, throw everything on one, you know,
we can, it's kind of like a
social media.
It's kind of like I'm especially with breakfast, like a multiple trip. Like if I go to an not an all you can eat, but say a buffet, I'm usually a multiple trip guy.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about the different foods.
Okay.
You know, like, you know, like lunch and breakfast. You know, like do you put on the same plate or two plates or make multiple trips?
Yeah, multiple trips.
There you go.
Multiple trips.
Yeah.
And then I'm heading out to, well, we were on the ice the other night, which was great. Always good to be slinging around with you. And we had the kids going, some good groups of kids skating, a lot of numbers. So it's exciting to be out there with you and making the youth better.
Yeah. You know, again, we mentioned it last week, but it's so much fun, you know, to see even, you know, just from week to week, but as you kind of like sit back and look at some of the concepts and then the improvement, it's pretty rewarding. But yeah, it's always fun to get out there and you know, try and demonstrate. Like I'm, you know, a little sore from trying to have that knee bend for an extended period of time.
But you've been getting it going. I've been thinking, watching you. Like the hip looks like it's coming into its own.
Yeah, you know, I probably should have did a few more of these rehab exercises when I first had it done.
You know, just that would have been good. Yeah,
the small muscles. Yeah, the stabilizers. Yeah. But yeah, I know, feeling good and looking to get back on the ice and maybe high step a little bit before the you know, the season's out.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, it's been good, and I had, you know, just to pat myself on the back, I thought we had good clock management this week.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, getting that going, getting the kids going through some skating drills and then splitting up into our groups. I think Rye Guy was happy with the middle station that it didn't extend too long. And, you know, so it was good. It's always nice to have the clock, the actual time up on the scoreboard, you know, because sometimes you get like lost in the teaching.
You get lost in the teaching. I saw you really being good, low and slow between the dots, middle support.
Yeah, I was trying. Yeah, I was trying.
That's good stuff. Yeah, no, it was a good session, and we appreciate all the kids that came out. And you know, there's a few forwards out there, and I love just them coming out and working on all aspects of the game. You know, the skating in particular, and handling pucks in different areas of the ice. So a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. And I'm heading out to Nationals later on this week, which I'm excited about. So Collins U14 team's out there. They had their first game already. They're 1-0 so far. They played the Anaheim Ducks, or Junior Ducks, I guess they are. So they got a couple big tests coming up here. It was a good game today. I was able to catch most of it online. They beat them 3-0, and then they play boys up at BK on Wednesday. And then mid Fairfield Thursday, and then they should, you know, hopefully have a couple games Friday, Saturday, Sunday potentially. So exciting to get, you know, hit up Michigan and you know, maybe capture a couple videos, some content out there.
Yes, definitely do that, and it'll be great for Colin. You know, and I think that this past season playing varsity as an eighth grader will serve him well in this situation, you know, playing age appropriate. We always talk about, you know, the level you're on or at, you want to be the best player you can be. And if you're, you know, say getting some experience at you know, some, you know, just say Collins example.
Yep.
You want to try and dominate that level, you know, before you're, you know, kind of moving on or whatever it was. Like when we talk about a player at, you know, the B level, you know, just making sure that you're doing the right things. But I, you know, I think this is just kind of a cool thing where he's going to, his game's going to be elevated. And, you know, when you play age appropriate, it might be a little bit more, more room out there. Let's just say.
Let's just say.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So
good luck to those boys out in Michigan, and I'll be waiting anxiously for those you know, updates. And yeah, I don't know if you'll be posting. I'll be sending it back to the CEO, but
yeah, we'll get it back to her. We'll get it back to her for sure, because I can't be trusted with the phone. Well, the Frozen, we talked a little bit about it, but the Frozen Four, obviously, great weekend of hockey. It was great to watch those. You know, the NCAA tournament and. Really exciting, awesome games. I'm not sure how much you caught, but it was, you know, really good hockey to watch. Some unbelievable plays that were made. And the Final Four is set. We got Michigan, Denver, BC, and BU all won their brackets. My, you know, I guess my main prediction didn't pan out. They lost in the first round, but it was, you know, really good hockey to watch. What'd you think about it?
Yeah, I thought, you know, right through all the games, you know, watched most of the games and was able to kind of catch the whole BC game because it was Easter and there wasn't much going, you know, after the feedback came off. You know, I had to unbutton the pants a little bit and couch it up and watch the game. But it was, I'm really impressed at the speed and the skill, and they make plays. All these top teams, they make plays, they deliver pucks on time, and, you know, finding different ways to generate offense. You know, it's not just the one and dones. They're making these short little plays, which is great. You know, there was, you know, a great little, you know, interchange in the BC game that led to a goal. And it's like, you know, you have, you know, these small plays that mean so much, but when you can do them on a big stage when the stakes are high, it's really cool. But there's so much talent on all these teams, and it's going to be, it would be nice to see a BCBU matchup, only because,
yeah,
you know, like Michigan State played, and that's what a great rivalry with Michigan, mm-hmm. You know, their rival, but BCBU national championship would be neat to see.
Yeah, that would be unbelievable. But like you said, it's been amazing to watch the chemistry with a lot of these guys and how they just find each other all over the ice. And I love that Ryan Leonard. I think he's going to be an unbelievable pro. He's big, strong, tough, but he's like extremely skilled. I just love watching him play. I had a question for you, though. Whose pass did you like better? The kid Nazar there on Michigan, the between the legs, or the spinorama behind the back from Celebrini?
I would say Celebrini's was... I mean, it was so skilled, mm-hmm. but now they did. But I would say Celebrini's was just more.
Do you think he knew that LeChance was?
That was what I was going to say. I'm not 100%, but it was appropriate play, you know. Yeah. But yeah. It makes you wonder a little bit if he 100% knew, it's all world.
Yeah.
No, it was either way, it was. It was great.
Both plays were amazing. I think that Nazar just coming down and like through the legs, just so skilled, such high hockey IQ. I love seeing that stuff. And shout out to a former guest. Obviously, we had Colin Graf and Jacob Quillen on last year after the Quinnipiac won the national championship. But, you know, former guest Jacob Quillen there signing with the Maple Leafs, which was really cool. And they obviously were, unfortunately for them, eliminated by BC. And overtime, but just he's a gamer, that kid. I really like his game.
Yeah, he really is. And you know, last year after, you know, before we had him on, you know, you're watching the game intently, those guys were all over the puck in that mm-hmm. in that national championship game. And you know, I watched them closely again against BC, and it's, you know, like you said, a gamer, but like he was a beast in the faceoff dot.
Yeah.
And just generating chance. Like he's a pro player playing, you know, that was his last collegiate game, obviously.
Yeah, now he's definitely a pro player.
But, you know, just doing the little things correctly again, like I was saying before, but it's, and then just showing up on the big moment, you know, like that little tip, you know, just being around the net, bad angle shot to score two goals there. And, you know, obviously scoring the game, you know, winning goal in overtime on a set play in the national championship. He just arrives and does things on time and has a real knack for the net. So we wish him the best. He was, those guys were great interviews, you know, just couple guys coming off an unbelievable experience. And they kind of are a little tame, not telling any stories, but that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't need to. They didn't need to.
But good luck.
That was good. And like you said, just a guy that shows up at the right times, and be interesting to see how he performs at the next level and just seems to be in the right spot. So sometimes those things are almost a little bit uncoachable. It's just some people have it or they don't. Right. So it's be interesting to see, and good luck to him. Other big news was Jimmy Snuggerud, who's obviously a stud player at the University of Minnesota. He came out that he's going to be going back to school, which really, really good player. You know, obviously remember watching him in the World Juniors and everything. And, you know, he talked about his experiences and watching some guys before him at the University of Minnesota come back for that extra, I believe, junior year and then going pro. So it'll be interesting to see how much he lights the lamp next year coming back. And obviously University of Minnesota feels like they get some unfinished business.
Yeah, and that's good to hear.
Where everybody these days is in such a rush, right?
Yeah, I just think you can't really put a price tag on it, on what you're going to experience. But what I'm saying in regards to that is, like, back when, you know, I was coming out, you know, a team could entice you a little bit by giving you a little bit more of a signing bonus, right? Everything is capped with the rookie contract. Mm-hmm. You know, signing bonus and then the max, you know, to play if you make the team, which is great. So it's really about opportunity to play in the NHL. If you're coming out and not playing in the NHL, then it's really, really not worth it. But also, it depends on, I had this conversation with a few people about some of the BC kids. And I mean, is it worth going to a bad team and really struggling with your first taste of pro hockey? Or is it better to really dominate again and duplicate what you did, you know, this year, and just have that extra year of maturity, growth wise, physically, mentally. So I'm really happy for Snuggerud and the Gophers to have him back. Number one, because he's an electric player. Like you can tell.
Do you think nowadays, like, let's just say, and this just popped into my head, but like a Celebrini or even a Will Smith, right? Obviously, really high pick, lit up, call it both, you know, both guys, you know, I'm just talking about those two, like lit up college hockey this year. Do you think that they have like a little extra target on their back where, you know, that the college kids that are 23, 24 years old are going to be running around trying to kill them? And that could be a reason to kind of to go and get that pro experience under their belt, or stay another year, you know? So it's like one or the other, right? But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you bring up a good point, because yeah, everyone's gonna give you their best effort when you're that high profile, especially, you know, like a Will Smith leading the nation in scoring, and, you know, not like quietly, but he's just kind of very smart, and like with the puck he just distributes so unbelievably, and it always is in an area to get the puck. But, you know, I would say that's part of
that maturation process.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you go to pro, you're going to get it even maybe not worse, but maybe with a heavier person who can maybe do a little more damage. I don't know. I mean, it's a great question or a great.
Yeah, because as I'm thinking more and more about it, maybe a kid like Smith, right, if he goes to San Jose and, you know, let's say they're not going to be as good of a team again, but you can at least surround him with some guys that are going to protect him a bit. Where in college, like, you hate to say it, but nobody's really protected, right? Like the biggest, strongest toughest defenseman on UMass Lowell that's 24, 25 years old can just take liberties on him whenever he wants, you know, to a degree, right? You can't be crazy, but, you see what I'm saying.
But I also do feel
picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah. The two out of those three, you know, Perreault and Smith, you know, we've had Mike Greer on. He's a college kid, college guy. San Jose isn't in, you know, any position to really contend right now. So he might be encouraging him to stay.
Yep.
You know, you never know, right? That's what I would think. If that's the case. And same with Perreault with Chris Drury, another college kid, good guy who, you know, understands the process and putting in the work. And so I don't know. I could see those two. And then Leonard's.
I don't know. Drury's probably getting sick of watching BC games.
Probably, right?
Being a Terrier, he's like, I've had enough.
Yeah. I mean, I would say Leonard's the most pro ready, like where he might not be an impact per se, but he would be more ready.
He can fit in on the third or fourth line. No, right. Problem.
Exactly. Yes.
With Smith and Perreault are more top two line guys.
Correct. Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
But Deke and Goche too, he's another one that's going to be ready to go.
Yes. I think, you know, coming back this year was great for him, and I think he found another level, and, you know, so maybe those guys can look at him as an example as well. So
yeah, absolutely. Were you sad to see Larry Lucchino pass away? Part of three World Series championships with the Red Sox. What are your thoughts on old Larry Luch?
I would say he was instrumental in kind of bringing an approach to get a championship team in place in Boston here.
Yeah.
Or multiple. But yeah, I'm not 100%, you know, like sold on like how good of a guy he was, but I've never met him, you know, so I can't really speak to it, but you know, it's a loss for the baseball community for sure.
Yeah.
He was a lifelong ambassador for the game in many respects of, you know, different roles and stuff. So
yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. LL, double L's.
Exactly. Sparks is the at-homer on the road skate shopping machine. I know, like I said, we're going out to Nationals. I know the Sparks. Luckily, I don't have to travel with. There was another family that was heading out early. They took their Sparks machine to make sure all these kids that were going to be buzzed up, all their skates are going to be shopping perfectly every time where we're out in Plymouth, Michigan. So that was huge. But if you don't have one yet, make sure you hit up sparkshockey.com. Use our promo code BYMOTS for that $50 off your Sparks sharpener. Again, it gives you that perfect edge every single time, and it's that gift that keeps on giving. It's convenient. It's super easy to use. You can take it on the road with you. We love our Sparks machines.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm, like I said, demonstrating a little bit with you, and it's kind of giving me the edge to get on the ice. And, you know, the Sparks machine for me, my buddy actually was like, hey, do you want to come skate, you know, Wednesday morning? And I'm like, I can't actually make it Wednesday morning, but, you know, there may be a Wednesday coming up. But he's like, I know you got a Sparks. You mind if I swing over? I
think he didn't even invite. He knew you couldn't make it.
Yeah, he knew I was had to be on the job site. And, you know, he's just like, oh, yeah, do you mind if I bring him over tonight? I'm like, oh, boy, yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, leave $7 at the door, buddy.
Right.
That's unbelievable. What a move.
So, yeah, Sparks is the at-home skate shopping machine that never fails and is the gift that keeps on giving, even those phony invites to skates.
SparksHockey.com. Make sure you order your machine today. All right, let's get into the mailbag here. My stepson is a 2008. Since elementary school, he's had the goal of playing Division I hockey. He is the hardest working athlete I have ever met. I have been exposed to many as I was a nationally ranked athlete myself growing up. I know the hard work and sacrifice it takes to move to the higher level. He has talent as well, but I feel this is secondary to his work ethic. My question to you is, what is an alternate path to Division I colleges aside from prep school? Prep school seems to be out of reach due to finances. I have seen junior hockey tryouts, but I am afraid they are money grabs. If one does not get drafted to a junior league, How does one become involved? And is that the best route to Division One hockey? I thank you for everything you guys do. Your insight is very helpful. Sincerely, a lost dad. P.S. His first EHF goal was against the Terriers. Oh, that's nice. Had to throw that in there.
He's still got the puck.
I don't coach at the 08 level, so it wasn't against me, lost dad.
I think that's kind of an interesting. I mean, there's a lot of different routes that you can get to D1, but there's like traditional paths. But I would say that your player, your son has to be, or daughter has to be, you know, a quality player to be a candidate to go to a prep school, and you can work the finances out at times, right?
Mm-hmm.
The junior side of things, you do have to be careful a little bit, only because there's different levels of junior hockey that some may call a money grab, but there is some real good junior hockey out there that can be played, you know, full season teams that you can, you know, look into if you're playing in the EHF, so you're local enough, look for some full season teams in those programs even to start.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at that age group. And then I would say, you know, if you're good enough, you know, I mean, you could make some calls and see if there's any, you know, potential for USHL. But USHL right. is kind of like the top league that you get recruited more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those things. So, I mean, I think just to you know, you made a lot of good points. There's definitely some different options. Obviously, you have these different academies that if you can't afford a prep school, maybe you look towards that road, but they're going to charge you money too. I think if the kid's a good player and it really has those D1 aspirations, you can, you know, apply to these different prep schools, talk to the coaches. Most of these private schools around here do offer a pretty good financial aid packages if you apply for them and you qualify for them. So again, it's just throwing your name in the hat. You know, I agree that some of these different tryouts and stuff can be money grabs, but do your research, see what the best option may potentially be and kind of go from there.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Good stuff from Lost Dad.
Lost Dad. All right.
Aren't we all?
Pretty much, right? All right, I get this next one here. Last season was my five-year-old's first year playing hockey. The season started in September. Although he was unable to skate at Learn to Play Hockey initially, he quickly took a liking to it. We tried out several organizations and finally found a great program with an excellent coach in the EHF, which is roughly 40 minutes away from our house. Although I can tell my son gets a little tired from the 40-minute drive, he has a ton of fun and learns a lot when he is there. Next year, we are signed up to do Mite Dev development.
I am
looking for tips to make the car rides to the rink easier for him. Also, I'm curious to know your thoughts on summer hockey camps and clinics for kids his age. I love the podcast and all the helpful information.
All right, let's start with the first question there, all right? 40-minute drive. What do we do to make the car rides a little bit easier?
Pop on the rink shrinks.
Pop on the rink shrinks, number one. We'll try to get you as you know, save those episodes for when he's in the car. And the other thing, too, I would just let him relax. Let him take a nap. He's only 6 years old. Take a nap, relax, listen to music. Don't really talk about hockey. Just kind of chill out. Make it, you know. I think most of us, I mean, the rink that I travel to regularly is like 12 miles from my house, but it probably takes me a half hour to 40 minutes each time I get there, especially during the week with traffic here in Boston. So we just kind of chill out. My son loves to take my phone, my youngest especially, and play his music, play different songs and stuff like that. And we just kind of enjoy it, sit back and relax and zone out and whatever. Like just enjoy the time with your son and don't talk too much hockey, anything like that. Just enjoy the ride, I would say. That would be my biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great advice only because looking back on, say, from that age all the way through my son not having his license, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's what I really cherished were those rides.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you know, they get a little bit older, they're on their phones or whatnot. But at this age, I think you said you should cherish it. You know, whether it be talking hockey, him sleeping, or anything, talking about school, or I just think he should enjoy that ride, like you said, BY, because that's what, you know, the memories that I have looking back, and same with my daughter. So
yeah,
it's a cool thing, and it's a bonding situation, even though you don't realize it at the time.
Absolutely. And then in terms of, you know, summer camps and clinics for kids his age, you know, it's tough. There's probably not a lot of like real long things. So I just do some research, see what you like. If you want to, you know, mix in a week, different week long camps, just to keep them active.
And keeping it fun.
Like that's what it's all about.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit beddies.com. That's BEDDYS.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Out at that age, you know, I used to at that age do something with, you know, kids a couple days a week for like, you know, 5 or 6 weeks throughout the summer. And it was good just to, you know, an hour and 20 minutes on the ice and just let them skate and have some fun. But you don't need to get too caught up in like, oh, he's got to be on the ice every day or something. Find one or two camps, do some research, find a couple buddies to go with, kids that he might play with, just to, again, have a blast and go spend 4 hours at the rink and do on ice, do off ice, something that's going to be a little bit collaborative, right? Have them go outside, play some street hockey, play some wiffle ball, do different sports, not just go on the ice.
Yeah. No, I think that's, remember you're running that out of Bavis, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was great. You know, and that is something, if there is something available, you know, where you are, then I think that's the most beneficial. You know, just a little well-rounded, you know, hockey's not the, you know, like the main focus, where you just kind of there and staying on the ice, having fun and playing some other sports. That'd be cool.
Yeah. It's always a blast. Franklin Sports is the official street hockey partner of the National Hockey League. Check out their line of official NHL street hockey games and training equipment at franklinsports.com today. A buddy of mine that runs a street hockey league actually reached out today. He's like, dude, you got any contacts where any street hockey balls and all that stuff? So of course I put them in touch with my my boys, you know, with, I should say, our boys over at Franklin Sports. And it's that time of year, get outside, start rollerblading, start playing you know, different street hockey, different games and training tools. They got everything there, so make sure you hit up franklinsports.com.
yeah, this is the weather's gonna start turning hopefully here soon.
Let's hope so. God,
I saw something that was like some snow, like in the forecast.
Yeah. I mean, probably when my flight's about to leave on, you know.
So, Yeah, but with the weather turning, yeah, just get your street hockey training equipment at franklinsports.com.
All right. Next question here. My 2013 son is very elite in the offense skills, playing up at PWA last year and dominating. He is very skilled in shooting, skating, passing, and ice awareness, and he regularly leads the leaderboard of stats in tournaments and the season. Now he is far from a cherry picker, but he is not the aggressive kid in puck battles on the defensive side of the ice or in the corners. He plays center, but his instincts are not to attack the puck, but rather wait and watch others battle and then pounce. He's not afraid. And maybe he is smart because the kids are 2 years older and bigger than him. But I don't think he is lazy. But watching him, I can bet some of the coaches question his compete level. This deficiency, we were told, was what kept him off our team's brick team last year. I was wondering if this is a trait that can be worked on easily and how. Or is this a habit that tends to be more of a personality trait and could be a problem down the line? Do you see kids improve this intangible part of the game? What do you think?
I would say, you know, this is his perspective of his own kid.
Not
to attack the puck, rather wait and watch for others to battle. That could be a red flag when he could be in the battle himself.
Yeah.
Say if he's like close to being first, or there's like, you know, a decision who's going to go, and he just like allows the other players to go. It's smart on one hand too, being third guy high, in say like an offensive situation like that. You're in great defensive position. You're in great offensive position. You know, if you're soft to a pile defensively, it's good. You know, so if he's using his head in like these really correct areas, it's good. But the compete is the compete, in my opinion. You know, there's just those two, that like scenario there might not, you know, be a good example of a compete level. I would say,
right.
Just, you know, there's times where the puck is there or you're defending or whatever it is, but those compete areas are more important and would have to be kind of, would it give me the indicator of whether he has good compete or bad compete.
Right.
You know, just using his head and trying to be strategic is, it could be a real skill, you know,
yeah.
but I'm just thinking both ways here. Could be a red flag if he's allowing his teammates to do the work and kind of hang out.
Yeah. I think it can be definitely be a good thing if you're like a player that just doesn't dive into piles and things like that, but you compete. Like you got to want it and you got to want the puck out there. Right. So reading the play is one thing for sure, but knowing when it's time to compete and battle and get in the corner and win pucks and use body positioning is very important, I think, coming up here. And I don't know, is it something that people can grow out of? Probably.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, 11 years old, you know, you're
good math.
I'm just trying to think of I had to take my shoe off.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
You know, you can see it innately in some kids, but there is opportunities. Yes. As confidence comes with a little bit more, you know, physical growth, that can really play a big role in improving someone's compete level, because they're not afraid to get bumped off pucks or get, you know, kind of out muscled consistently. So,
yeah.
I think that's what my assessment would be. It'd be like, you know, watch for other areas of the ice and see what, you know, you see from your son. And, you know, possibly, you know, you can mention it to him and be like, hey, 50-50 pucks are very important. You remember this play or whatever, you know, but
right,
there is some quality stuff there for being an anticipating type player and kind of reading and reacting off of your competition.
Definitely.
All right. I got the next one here. A couple weeks ago, you read and commented on a question I sent in on my 2016 son who could potentially make the 16 elites in our program here in Massachusetts. Well, as luck should have it, he made it, and we are so proud of him, having only skated for a little over a year. Great job. The 24-25 season basically starts this week. Practice all month and parity in May. It's crazy. I've been a loyal listener to the pod since I discovered it a year ago and have heard on multiple occasions, almost weekly, about the importance of playing other sports, getting off the ice, and I completely agree. However, it doesn't seem possible at times. It's his first year of baseball, and looking at the schedule, he's going to miss the first game because of hockey practice. Not to mention all the clinics and skills that are being offered, expected throughout the summer. How do we find that balance? As coaches and successful organizations, what are your expectations of off-season training? Everyone preaches other sports, but in the end, everyone seems to still be in the rink. Well, congrats, number one.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, great job making that team. And I've always hated how they do the parity for some of these leagues in the fall. I'm sorry, in the spring. I think it's insane. I think we've talked about it multiple times before, but I can't stand that because it really does. Like, all these organizations, all these coaches, they all stress, hey, we got to get away from the rink, pick up the lacrosse sticks, pick up the baseball gloves, start kicking around the soccer ball, whatever it is. And then it's like, yeah, but we got practice 3 days this week and 3 days next week, and then we get a tournament and all that stuff. So, shame on the leagues, programs, whoever is making those decisions that actually have them in the spring. I think it's stupid.
I think, I don't know for sure, but this is my feeling on it, is that the programs are, charging more. So, providing more or offering more so they can charge more. And it's really just about filling ice at that on those dead hours and dead kind of times of year. So I completely disagree with spring and summer. Getting on here and there throughout the summer is great, and then have a cookout or go do a pool party or something, play some wiffle ball.
Yeah.
But the thing about how I approached it, and this would be in the season, would be soccer and football players. Fall is soccer and football season.
Right.
So they, if they had to miss, on the weekends, it stinks, right, as a coach. But like, if you are preaching that you want to play other sports and you want athletes first, then you have to be able to live by that. So after football season, or say Thanksgiving, that's when I was like, all right, everyone is expected to be here. All you other athletes that were trying to do both. And, I respect their, their ability to try and kind of still stay loyal to the team. Even though they may have had soccer practice, they come right from soccer practice. I don't want them to get burnt out, but I appreciated their, their commitment, to like really trying to make it work. But, yeah, it's too bad, because it's tough. It's easy to preach, very difficult to practice as coaches.
Yeah, but I think, like you said, especially when, I dealt with that parity, I think like once or twice with my oldest, and we had kids that were baseball players and they missed games, they missed practices because they had baseball. Like, it is what it is. It's the spring. Like, I'm not going to argue with the parents, say, hey, really want them here, right? And I guess my message was always like, if you can make it, if you can be there, get there. But if not, I completely understand why you're going to your baseball, your AAU baseball practice that you're also paying $3,000 for, yeah. Right? Like, and that coach is going to be pissed, and there's 12 players on that team too. So I think you got to talk to the coaches and kind of let them know, like, hey, listen, we want our kid to play other sports. Like, he's going to miss some things in the spring. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's just tough being the first year player too. But I think you set the precedent for your son and be like, hey, this is what we do, and I just think that could be a beneficial conversation at least. And
absolutely,
these people should understand that,
right?
If they're reasonable.
If they're reasonable, which we all know, hockey people, can they be sometimes? Yes. Can they not be? Absolutely. This mailbag is brought to you by TSR Hockey. Obviously, it's located up there in tax-free Salem, New Hampshire. You can hit up the team store by calling 603-912-5970. You can ask for Mike or Dave. they'll hook you up and talk to you up there and set up your team fittings. That's what they're doing right now, getting all their swag games lined up for next year. If you can't get to the store, visit them online, right? It's New England's premier hockey store, but visit them online if you can't make it in. TSRHockey.com for all your shopping needs. Make sure if you're calling them or if you're swinging by the store, you let them know the Rink Shrink sent you. They're our buddies up there. They take good care of us. We can't say enough good things about the support TSR has given us over the years.
Yeah, they're great guys, and they will take care of you. If you are in the area, get up into that store. It's great. There's a lot of selection, you know, top-of-the-line selection, middle of the line, and again, when we talk about these guys, they don't just fit you for the most expensive gear. It's really what the right
fit is. Which is huge.
Yeah, they're honest people, and if you're not in the area, check them out at tsrhockey.com. And if you're a program director or your team is in need of some swag or some gear, and give them a call, make sure, and they will take care of it. Those boys, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do. All right, next question here. Hey, guys, trying to find if you covered this question slash issue or if you heard any great solution. Here it goes. What do you do with U8 through U10 youth players that play a club team and also take up a spot on a town A team? The problems we are facing. Number one, the town youth player that comes to every practice and every game gets less playing time when the club youth players show up for a third of the scheduled games. Two, B players who could potentially play A loses out on an A spot and a chance to play at a better level. Three, do you not allow a club player to take up a spot on the town A team? Do you have some kind of attendance record for the club players and at some point they can only play so much? Five, you can also run into the problem of depleting your future high school teams of good players because of maybe some rules you put into action in the earlier years. Just wondering your thoughts slash ideas and hoping to find a good solution to what I imagine happens everywhere. Thank you.
It's interesting because I immediately thought about that Pittsburgh Hockey League that was putting or trying to vote on.
Yeah, the rules are with the girls.
Yeah. So it would be very similar here with, so we would consider the town program as a double A, right? And triple A would be
right
the travel team, club team.
Mm-hmm.
So club. So they wouldn't be allowed to play in the program at all, the town team. I mean, I hear this kind of sounds like, you know, the son or daughter is on that bubble of being, you know, a player with a lot of ice time when the club players are there, or is on the B team and the A players took a spot, a potential spot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get it. That, I mean, as you kind of like just objectively look at it, that is exactly what's happening.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, that rule of, what Pittsburgh was trying to attain,
accomplish. Yeah, a couple episodes ago,
that would eliminate this,
right?
Kind of situation. I don't know. I mean, like, it's just interesting because, like, I was looking at it from my daughter's point of view, where, you know, she played with her friends, and like with the travel team, she was with, you know, just girls and from different towns or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of torn here now because I totally see how this can be an absolute, you know, sense of frustration from a parent and a player on the other side of it. So they might have to be some changes, or maybe you mention it to the town director or whatever, but I'm sure that they want these good players to come back and play.
Right.
So I don't know. It's a sensitive topic because
Definitely a sensitive. I look at it as there needs to be great communication with that town coach
And how I would swing this if I was, say, coaching the team, and, you know, because you want those good club players to play in the big games stuff, but you kind of know that they're going to miss a good majority of things. So I would have a rotation, or I would have like good lines of communication with the coach of the, call it B team, and say, hey, okay, we're going to be missing Johnny and Stevie this weekend. Give me your two best players from last weekend.
Yeah, or right. If the kids on the team are playing more when they're not there, and then when they come, they don't play as much.
Right.
I mean, that happens. I mean, in all scenarios, but is it fair to the kids who are there every practice? That's kind of like the point. I get where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But like to call B players up, I mean, that would be a great scenario, you know, if that was the case too, you know?
I think you open those lines of communication and you know, I think it's every coach's decision. Like, I honestly think by U10, if you're playing club, it's a lot to be playing club in town. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. Yeah. I think it's a ton of hockey, especially most of these club programs are on the ice, call it 5 days a week. Like, how can you fit any more into your schedule? It's just insane to me. So I think by that U10 age group, they should be picking one or the other, to be honest with you. If they are doing it, there needs to be good communication between the families that are doing it, so they're not just coming and going as they pleasing. If they're not going to be there, they have to let the coach know. They got to give him a heads up so that he can call somebody up.
Yeah, I mean, then that negatively affects that B level team as well. So it is kind of that could be a slippery slope.
Yeah,
but like you want the kids to play at the highest level they can, or have the you know, the option to.
And then the B coach is all pissed off at the A coach.
Exactly. I think that would be because maybe they would have, you know, say a conflicting game, and all of a sudden like the B players, the best players are gone. I don't know. It is kind of a tough situation. I'm just thinking it's like.
Sounds just like a complete nightmare for everybody.
Yeah, well, it's not an easy fix because you're going to hurt someone, you know, kind of either way.
Right, right. So. Well, either way, we can tell you where to eat if you take one of the, you know, the A team or the B team to a tournament down in Connecticut or the Connecticut Westchester area, or if you're in Maryland or Virginia or Florida, right?
Absolutely.
We can let them know.
Talk about a little hot oil hype.
Yeah, we got the hot oil hype. One of the hottest things about traveling to these hockey tournaments is deciding where to eat, right? But it's a no-brainer. Colony Grill. Again, it is home of the famous hot oil pizza and the one-of-a-kind razor-thin crust. It's comfortable. It's friendly. It's run by hockey people. And there's always a game on. Again, if you're in that Connecticut, Westchester area, if you're in Maryland, Virginia, or Florida, there's probably a Colony Grill close by. Bring the team in, order it to the hotel, or pick up a steaming hot pie on the way to the ice. You'll agree, Colony Grill lives up to that hot oil hype. To find your nearest location, near a rink near you, head to colonygrill.com.
So, hey, so now as far as, you know, pizza and all this stuff, like, you know,
getting me hungry.
I know. I was wondering if there's any way to see if we can get a partially cooked pizza shipped up somehow.
Yes,
you know, so we got to talk to our fellas down there and see what we can do.
Well, we really need to get on. It's April now. We need to get on our trip down there. That's got to get in the works too. So let's focus on that before we get the, you know, the pizza truck set up there for you.
All right, sounds good.
All right,
done and let's done.
Focus on us making the effort to get down there before this, you know, sending up half-cooked pies for mozzarella sticks.
Good. I think that's more appropriate. All right,
yeah, that's fair to say. Fair to say. All right, now it is time for the My Hockey Rankings question of the week. We got a couple of them with Brad Marchand still sitting on 399 goals. What's the longest you have seen a player sit on a recording a milestone? Did it affect the team? Mots, you remember anything from your career?
I know that Mario Brodeur had to wait another game for his, I want to say it was his 500th win.
Mm-hmm.
I was backpedaling on the PP.
Oh, no.
And it was Joseph or something like that on Islanders, big number 63.
Yeah.
He had all day, like it was like just inside the blue line. Then I was like flailing at him. And he just went forehand, backhand. Like he had all day to deke Marty out. And we ended up losing 1-0. So no. Marty had to and wait.
It was your dash?
Yeah, it was my fault. It was legitimately that whole situation. Anyway, that was one. He actually, there was a game before that he had a chance. So, but I mean, it's two games. So I wouldn't say anything else jumps out at me, but. You know, that's a big one because it's getting a lot of press. You know, I think a lot of guys don't really necessarily realize some big milestones, not big, smaller milestones are there. They just kind of keep playing. But with these bigger ones, yeah, you grip the stick a little bit. You internalize and sometimes, you know, that pressure to just get through it, you know, just get it done with because you don't want to talk about it anymore. I think those are the kind of the feelings that probably Marshy has right now. He's like, who cares?
Right. And he's kind of just, you know, it's been a while. He's been sitting at 399 for a while. So I'm sure he's feeling it. But at the end of the day, he just wants to win hockey games. And he's going to go out and give you just a hardworking mentality no matter what. He's not playing the game for goals and individual milestones. He's playing it for the team. That's how he's always been, and that's how he competes every night. So he's making an impact whether he's scoring goals or not. But you hate to see somebody kind of sitting on that number, and hopefully by the time we finish recording, you know, this episode drops on Friday, he's already hit the milestone. Yeah. I can't really remember anything, you know, like just thinking back in different hockey milestones. I don't really remember anybody sitting on a certain number for an extended period of time or anything like that. So it's tough to say, but I think it's tough and hopefully it's just not affecting him overall. Right. And I'm sure that the boys on the team are saying like in the back of their minds, we got to try a little bit extra harder to try to get him one here. Right. Which sometimes it's like, you know how Marshawn scored, you know, 300 out of those 99 goals are just like greasy going to the net. And maybe it's just hits off a shin pad, hits off his skate, hits off his rear end, whatever it is.
Yeah. No, I just, you know, getting back to like what I was saying, I think it's less obvious on certain milestones, you know, so what I'm saying, like that individual understands, but you know, goals, you know, like assists, I was thinking, you know, Eliash set the points record, but you know, he knew about it, you know, guys were talking about it maybe, you know, but not really. It was just one of those things that just kept going. And I mean, you just want to stop being able to talk about it, I would guess, for him. And he wants to win games. So I don't – Brodeur and Eliash were the only ones that I really
– That you took part in.
Yeah.
That you affected. Well, again, good stuff out of the My Hockey Rankings question of the week. There's another one here. Let's get to this one. As a college player, did you attend class the next day after a big win?
Absolutely.
Always, right?
Yep.
Even on Saturdays.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Actually, it was a long time ago. I got really.
I mean, it's different in college, especially college hockey. Like, I'll say this: most college hockey games are on Friday, Saturday nights.
Yeah. But I would probably be studying for Monday.
You know, Monday. I'm sure.
No, I agree with that. That's, you never really have to, unless it's.
By the time I think like at least 3 years that I was in college, I didn't even have classes on Fridays.
Yeah. We usually had to have school or schedule all our classes prior to a certain time. So sometimes those were 8 o'clock in the mornings and that was, but never after a game. So,
right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. If you win a big game, let's just say that the Mots, you won the bean pot on a Monday night. You got an 8 a.m. class on Tuesday.
Yeah. You going? Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
I probably wouldn't go either. I can remember like driving down from UNH on a Monday night when my buddies were playing in the Beanpot and ended up with them and hanging out and missing my classes up at UNH the next day, you know? So
you're like, I'm not on the Beanpot. You know, I don't have to go to classes.
Exactly. Exactly. But good stuff from the My Hockey Rankings question of the week. And make sure you follow them. Like, if you want to track all these national tournaments going on right now, follow them on Instagram, My Hockey Ranking. Really good. And they're like spot on with everything. Like, not only the rankings, but also their Instagram game is, it's been on point. And they're just like every score from, you know, there's national tournaments going on right now and at the tier one level out in Vegas. I know for the 18s and 16s, obviously the 14s are in Plymouth, Michigan. There's teams out in South Dakota, the tier twos, and I believe like Dallas. The girls are in some different locations. So it's like, and they're on top of every single game. So make sure you're following our boys at My Hockey Rankings.
Yeah, they do a great job. And especially these tournaments, it shows you how accurate, you know, they shake out in the long run. If you really look at it, and I know we've had them on and we've had many questions actually regarding in regards to, you know, the rankings and how they
do they work.
Yeah. From like week to week or, you know, each posting, and you look at the teams that are left in these tournaments, and it's pretty cool to see. So
yeah,
we're very fortunate to have them, you know, as a partner. And make sure you check out myhockeyrankings.com.
All right, buddy, I think that wraps it up. Thanks to everybody for submitting questions over in the mailbag. Thankfully, we were able to get to a bunch of them, and keep those things coming in. Mots, I'll keep you updated on my trip out west. Hopefully things go well and we'll go from there, right?
Yeah, good luck to Colin. Enjoy yourself. Yeah, definitely check in. Love to see the whole setup out there and everything, and give us some updates on the games as well.
For sure. Thanks to everybody for listening. Make sure you're following us on Instagram and Twitter and all the social media stuff. And it is time to cue the Rink Shrink Shuffle jersey.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.